And my friends, it is Monday night, February the 15th. Listen, it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're in for an hour where the providence of God, it's, listen, a supernatural hour that we'll be engaged with. We've got a topic this week. I don't know if you've already seen it. On the shatterthedarkness.net site, we have up again for the whole week, here's the topic, the world of the demons seeking to come into your world. Monday night, the realm of the demons, their origins, nature, agenda, what they really want. Tuesday night at 7, how they seek to get into our side. Can you hear them knocking or their offers? On Wednesday night, the genetics of the demonic and why they morph. They see you before you feel them. And then Friday, they emanate an energy, but behind the energy is the entity. And they're not pretty. So there's the listing for the week if you want to go again to shatterthedarkness.net. I want to say welcome to everybody coming in right now. And I want to say welcome live audience, thousands and thousands of you all over. I want to say welcome to those in the UK and Canada, United States, other parts of the world. Even though I can't always get to all the emails. And by the way, we're getting up to about 30 per day that we can answer. But we're still behind, but we're getting and increasing a little bit more. And if you want to send us a note where you're from, just to say hi, appreciate that. Appreciate those who send in notes concerning some of the topics we've been dealing with. Even those who are on the dark side, those who are connected to the Luciferian agenda. I see that you've sent some stuff today, and we may bring it up in the next couple of days. Want to say again, if you've heard this voice, my name is Russ Dizdar. The central site, shatterthedarkness.net. Tuesday nights, we're on Survive to Thrive as a guest host for Steve Quayle. And listen, I know that many thousands of you have listened to Steve for years and years and years, and many others. I'm very aware of the nature of wanting to know about the end of days, the current issues, where we're going. But I'm also aware of reconnaissance and of chosen ones and sub-personalities. Going to mention that today in some of the news items. But I just wanted to say, listen, welcome to everybody listening. And even if you are not yet a believer in the living Christ, I believe that you may be here by a supernatural and providential hand. And so stick around. You won't get hurt, but you may be engaged by the Spirit of the living God. And that is a very good thing. That is a very, very good thing. I've been told today that it's President's Day. I'm reminded of the book of Romans chapter 13. I'm reminded that God ordains governmental authorities, but he also then gives them the guidelines by which they are supposed to rule and govern. And when they do, blessing is there. And when they don't, the hand of God would be against. Now listen, whoever the president is, or a ruler of a land, or a prime minister or king, if they step outside the will and the way of God, well, they may ultimately bring damage to a nation. If they do everything in their power to get the most abortions possible done, they are opposing God. If they do all they can to avoid national days of prayer and, you know, gathering the nation to seek the living God and seeking God's guidance for the nation, if they seek to completely, well, diss that day, if they embrace globalism, secret societies, hidden agendas that serve the ultimate purpose of a Luciferian cause, well, then those are the leaders that will bring damnation to nations. They will bring harm. And we don't just sit back and do nothing. We're told by the Spirit of God in the book of Timothy chapter 2 about pouring out our prayers. Now, pastors and leaders and all of us as believers can commit to daily prayer, not just for our own feelings, not just for our own blessings, though those things occur. I love my prayer time. I love being with the Lord. I love worship. I love to embrace God. I mean, think in terms of the absolute incredible, you know, potentials that when we embrace God and focus and pray and worship and build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Now listen, as we do that, many things occur. But we're also called upon not just to pray about our own issues, but broader than that. Not just think up a few things. Listen, some believers in Christ that sit back and say, I don't know what to pray about. Well, I want you to know the Word of God, 98% of the New Testament packs us with revelation of the recorded prayers of what to pray about and praying in the will of God. And Timothy chapter 2 does this in the context of praying for the salvation of all mankind. Every Christian should have this at the top of their agenda. Every church should be pouring out and thundering out, you know, 20, 30 minutes of prayer for the souls of men in their cities, in their state, in their nation. Not 38 seconds of just crowd-pleasing prayers, but massive intercession. Well, listen, if we're going to listen to the Spirit of God, take a read of 2 Timothy chapter 2, when the Spirit of God tells us with urgency. You're going to find the Spirit of God lays upon the church a call to urgency. And then secondly, you're going to see first of all. When God says first of all, you know what it means, right? When God says first of all, that's priority. That's number one. And then the Spirit of God gives us the ideas of general prayers and desis, specific prayers and prayers for all those, notice this, those in authority. The way of the nation can bring open doors to the gospel or bring in eventual persecution of the gospel. So the Spirit of God clearly tells us that we're to pray for those in authority. And that this would be good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men, pasanthropos, all humankind, to be saved. So I want to say today that we should be praying with a great sense of urgency. That if you and I, as believers in the living Christ, with the Spirit of God inside of us, if we've listened to the Word of God and looked at our agenda. See, I've got so many things to pray, so much stuff laid out by God. And all those things that God adds on, and all those that send prayer requests. I've got a number of people that send prayer requests, and I pray for them. And I pray for many individuals over the emails and so forth. But I want you to know that there is a sense of first of all. And the Spirit of God says with urgency, pray for the kings, those that are in authority. Now listen, pray for them against Satan's opportunity and work because they are targeted. Pray that they will be yielded to God. Pray that they would be saved. Pray that governors and senators all across the board. Why leave governmental powers untouched? Untouched by the potential, powerful, massive, sweeping power of God. Why leave the political realms, the governmental realms, to the enemy? Maybe that's why so much opposition to God, so much of the Luciferic cause has, well, raised its ugly, bloody head in the ideology of politics. So when you think in terms of President's Day, it is an urgent thing. It is a priority by God. So I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says and make it the priority of my life. And if I was pastoring like before, I would lead the church in 20, you know, minutes, 30 minutes of intercession and prayer. Yes, on a Sunday morning. Yes, instead of a boring, dead church where we must put in all the accoutrements to kind of, you know, somehow satisfy the individuals, the spectators, leaving them year after year powerless only as spectators and watchers. Come on, is that the body of Christ you see in the book of Acts chapter 4? No, you see them raising their voices together to God in prayer, in massive intercession. So today, we pray for the President of the United States, for the Spirit of God to convict of sin, of those things that are against the will of God, for those things that would dishonor God, for those things that would dishonor Christ and the cross, for any sense of hiding Christ and shame. for exposure. And we must pray that God guide individuals. Listen, I'm not giving up on the nation. I'm not giving up until the day Jesus returns or the day I'm out of here. When I'm out of here, I'm done. Then it's left up to you. Keep on doing the stuff. Keep on doing what Jesus said. He didn't say I'd be with you until, you know, almost the very end of the age. He said I'd be with you always to the very end of the age. So I'm going to pray for revival and spiritual awakening. We're going to do what we can to fulfill the mission of Christ. That's the mission that we are part of. In the context of that, in the most unprecedented time of, well, let me tell you something. There is definitely spiritual awakening. The dark side is operative as never before in human history. And God is operative. And biblical revelation or prophetic revelation in Scripture shows us that both sides, and I'm telling believers this, both sides will manifest greater powers. You read about it, you check it out. But today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Savior, healer, deliverer, operator. May God bless you. May God engage you. May the living Christ and all that he is and all of his power and all of his love and saving grace grip you. Tonight, Monday, February the 15th, we're going to talk about the realm of demons, their origins, nature, agenda. Well, I'm going to talk about six areas, actually: origins, nature, methodology, the hierarchy, the agenda, and the leader of the pack. We're going to talk about that here in the body of the message, probably around 20 minutes after. But I got a couple of things to tell you about. One of those is the professor who killed the other professors and, well, killed three, wounded three. Looks like they had she'd killed her brother and supposedly. And now they're saying there's a cover-up under an NCIC report. There is now a cover-up concerning the killing or the death of her brother, and also the possibility that she was involved in some kind of releasing of a bomb to another professor and that she was implicated. But here's what I saw today, because some of you sent me information concerning her that she was involved in, because she's really a learned, or, you know, she's really up there in her information and knowledge and technologies and so forth. But I got a note from a couple of people about her being someone who's been involved in mind control projects. Things that deal with mind, brain, and computers and their use of controlling or sending thought to mind and brain. I observed her the last couple of days in some of the news reports. Did you see how at the time of her arrest, reporters were asking her about the killings? And she says they're not dead, that it didn't happen. And one of the news anchors said clearly these words, listen, that she seemed dissociative. Now, as I observed her, and I don't know for sure yet, but when it comes to chosen ones, those who have sub-personalities, personalities that can work in science, work in technology, other personalities that can do other things, personalities that are bombers, all that kind of stuff. It is very clear in criminology we have not yet come to terms, though David McGowan, who wrote the book Programmed to Kill, I've quoted him in our book, Programmed to Kill is the first book that I've seen give any kind of beginning, definitive information about serial rapists and killers and people like this that go on rampages and kill. The VTech killer, 60% kill rate. I don't believe that. I believe that he was. There was other controlling factors, if not sub-personalities that were engaged. I believe more so that it was probably a test project. And I believe there's been some others. Now, this woman, it's very possible that a sub-personality did the killing. Now, we've been involved in cult crime cases here locally where the sub-personality who is expert in killing killed while the main functioning personality, well, did not do it, realizes later it was done, it's not real to them because when the sub-personality arises, takes over, does the deeds, like some of you who are listening even now, you understand what it is to breathe out your rituals and shed blood and seek torture and raise the energies and summon the demonic and get the charged, well, the energies up so that they can be charged, the blood so that it can be attached to. You understand all of that. So do we. We're on opposite sides of the fence, that's for sure. One is a blood that binds you to a finite entity that wants to be God. The other blood, the blood of Christ, from the sinless Lamb of God, is what all of hell fears and trembles at. Just ask your demons. The professor that killed may be a multiple. So pray about that. Pray for an uncovering. There's so many cases that are out there, like the lady in Pennsylvania where they took, well, fingernail polish and marked up her face and desecrated her body. And, you know, the Gang of Six, was it just kind of a serial rape, murder, bludgeoning of the body, that kind of thing? Or was there something more involved? I think there was more involved, especially out there in Pennsylvania, where thousands of chosen ones since the early 50s have been created back in those sub-basements and buildings and laboratories, university. Yes, mind control projects in university, like Dr. Orne. I mean, we've been in PA 35 times, 40 times, I don't even know how many now. The problem is in PA, the problem is who came there and hid their projects deep in the suburbs and the woods and the places where they can do the ancient rituals. Don't forget the internment camps there in Pennsylvania where Nazis were released after the war and more flooded in after that, where the projects continued in a combination of deep satanic brotherhood agenda from the Nazis. Continue to engage U.S. military in those days and seek an infiltration. Well, they did that. So when you talk and find out about many of the so-called, the chosen ones, multiples, SRA, MPD, if you know what I'm talking about, you know that thousands of them came out of PA. And no doubt I will get emails even while we are speaking concerning this. Pennsylvania has deep roots in caves, caverns, hidden places everywhere where blood has been shed from one end to the other. Please understand that I've been engaged with PA experientially with teams, individuals, victims, covens for years. So we'll be in Pennsylvania this next week once again. Keep praying, Pennsylvanians. Keep praying for revival. Keep praying for God to strike. Keep praying for the hidden places to be exposed. Keep praying for your churches to be purified and to discern the infiltration. Keep praying for the victims that are being created even now to be those future satanic super soldiers. So take a look around you, church, whether or not the believers in Christ are doing their job or distracted, or defeated. It's very important that we take a look at the days we're in. Now, we're also looking at the church burnings, 10 of them, arson. On the shatterthedarkness.net website, we have pictures that we have pulled off, and we put the link to the article, to the website, that showed the pictures of the young men. And I guess that they, one upside down cross, flame tattoos, things like that. But I'm reading Jeremy Shaw. He's a former prison correctional officer. He says these words after observing the tattooing and so forth. Here's what he says. Quote, "I have seen it in their tattoos they have in there. It tells me it's anti-Christian, demonic, pagan. Now, again, we need to pray for what's going on there and the motivations behind it and see what's happening. It could be a combination of what we've termed dabbler Satanists and or the psycho-Satanism. They are being careful not to kill anybody. By the way, we have a shooting in a church yesterday. Three men with hoods pulled over their heads walked in during the service and began to shoot. And a 14-year-old and a 19-year-old were hit. Could have been gang-related. But what audacity is this? What audacity is this that we're going to see, as in Texas, as in other places, individuals walk into a church and begin shooting? See, churches, pastors, let me tell you something. The undergrounders who have been infiltrating churches, who've been placed, monitoring, giving the names, identifying, watching, waiting for the call, they know the vulnerabilities of a local church extremely well. When the Black Awakening or the Great Chaos occurs, it's very likely that hundreds, if not thousands, of shootings will occur over a given day or week. Let me mention also that Muslims are crying out concerning the scanners at the airports. They're saying that it's against their religion to have to go under the scanner and that they should be exempt based on their religion. Well, please, you know that I don't agree with the scanners either for anybody, by the way. They may not be as effective as we think, and there is definitely intrusion there, and it's without question that many are going to begin to look for alternative ways of transportation. But America, listen, Muslims are saying that it's against their religion, as they've done in Deerfield, up in Michigan, where there's been, you know, a call to prayer, the sounds, you know, of the call, the laws they want to put into place in America. I think Muslims should understand that they need to be in their Muslim lands where those laws are in effect if that's what they want. I mean, if you want to worship Allah, he is a God, small g, God. He's a real entity, no question about it. He may be the ancient moon god. I believe out of the book of Daniel 2,600 years ago that in reference to the prince of Persia, the ruling territorial prince, small g, god of the lands, he didn't go away. He's been there all along. And I believe that the connection to Allah is the same. You see, in our land here, the United States, the coin that says, "In God we trust," you got to understand the history. It's in reference to the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible, Old and New Testament. It's in reference to everything that the God of the Bible, God of creation, God of redemption. That's the original reference. Now, people can make it out to be a Masonic thing, and people can make it out to be a New Age force, and Muslims might begin to say, well, that's referring to Allah because they're one and the same. No, they're not. I think it's very important that we acknowledge that Allah and God are not the same in any measure of attribute, will, agenda, action, and ultimate ends. Vast, vast differences. So be honest, and you say what you want to say about Allah. I agree that he's real, that he's there, that submitting to him will bring a connection spiritually to that entity. But we're not talking about the God of the universe. We're not talking about God in human flesh, Christ. So don't desecrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And the New Agers should also realize, if you want spirits and if you want to get into stuff, you know, that's your choice. But don't steal Jesus out of the pages of the Old and New Testament. Don't de-deify and change and do everything. Yet, that is part of what we're dealing with this week concerning the agenda, concerning the reasons and why they work the way they do. So, in thinking about some of the stuff that's been occurring, even, well, yesterday, Saturday, and today. Again, we see spiritual warfare is manifested even in the physical realm. And it's going to be interesting to see who the three individuals were that did the shootings during a live worship service in a small church. Find out what really occurred. Now listen, tonight, if you want to email, you can do that. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. We're getting to 20, now up to about 30 emails a day, but we're still behind. We just have too many. But we're going to try to do the best we can. And again, say God bless you. And well, we're really glad that you have been listening, emailing. And I want you to know that on the front page of Shatter the Darkness, if you're a believer in Christ and you want to grow, and really, there's a course we've done here locally called Confronting the Powers Through the Great Commission. It's right now to the end of February, offered free, absolutely free. So you can take that and other things also, hundreds of MP3s. We're glad that you've taken a look. We're going to mention tonight that we're going to talk about six areas of the realm of the demons. What is that presence in the room of a little boy or a little girl that says they have a friend that talks to them, that they begin to talk with and play with and they have a name for? What is that presence that begins to engage them? Now, in a secular, you know, kind of rationalistic thing, we might say that that is just a make-believe. Is it really? What about a visitation when you're going to bed and you feel something sit on the edge of your bed? You feel something press on your chest and hold you down, something whispering or scratching you? What about going to an old building somewhere and you feel like some kind of presence or energy walked right past you, and you want to know what it is? What about sitting in an occult meeting, a little society, a secret group, and someone opens up and a presence comes into them and speaks to the crowd? They've channeled an entity. What about the University of Arizona that is calling on people all across the nation to join them as they're leading them through a, quote, scientific study of their engagement with energies, entities, non-human intelligences, extra or extra-dimensional beings? Have I not said, and I hope that you're listening clearly, 2,000 years ago, the predictions towards the end of days would be the manifestation of and the ramping up of a massive spiritual communication, engagement, that hundreds of millions of these spirits would seek knock and look to bring experience, voice, presence, enhancement, energies, engagements. They can lay the ground to all of this by guiding individuals in writings that people would read later. And those writings would open them to seek the spirits that authored the books. So many, it's like a smorgasbord. It really is. There are vast, vast experiences that are going on. And listen, you could be having massive, you could be saying, well, I see the dead walking. I've talked to my grandmother that died 30 years ago. I've got like Ted Owens, the PK man, believes that the aliens actually entered his head, gave him enhancements to read what they're saying. And his engagements at the temple down among the old Mayan ruins, looking for the gods of the Mayans to engage and talk to them. Now, there's this kind of thing happening everywhere. There is in criminology a seemingly growing nature of weird, bizarre, violent, bloody, ritualistic type killings where individuals said that a voice told me to do it. Listen, years ago, I was called to be in the local jail here in the downtown area of the city. I was to go visit a man, and while I was being taken down through the system of locked doors, We heard this growling, crying out sound. I recognized the demonic presence in a woman making the weirdest of sounds. Sure enough, I asked the guard, who is that? And he says, that's the woman that just 2 days ago killed all of her kids. She claims that voices spoke into her head, that she was to cleanse them and ritualistically take them to the sink and one by one hold them under their heads under the water and kill them. And the voices told her to do it. Now she's incarcerated. The voices were still there. She could be put in prison somewhere. The voices will still be. She could be given psychotropic drugs to suppress the ability of the spirits to actually communicate into the head or the area of reception. And the psychotropics or the drugs, if they're drugged up enough in psych wards and so forth, can kind of close off the hearing of the voices. But it doesn't mean the voices have gone anywhere. And let me tell you something about the spirits. They always want more. If they get one that begins to get into your family line, they want more. There's a teaching in the Bible that talks about how if one goes out, they go to find many others and come in because it's a bigger and broader stronghold. In all the deliverances and exorcisms we've been involved in 25 years, I don't think I've ever had a case where it was only one demon alone. So it's very important for those that are doing deliverance that when you're kicking out one demon in the name, again, of the living Christ, because of that authority and what occurred at the cross. Now, most New Agers and psychics and remote viewers have no clue at the incredible power wielded at the cross. All of hell knows. All the angels of heaven have seen. The demons definitely know. That's why the ancient hate is rising, and that's why there's an agenda. The reason why we're moving in one direction, there's an end game. It's not globalism. It's not Satan being in human flesh saying he's God in the temple. That's not the end. Those things will happen. But the ultimate end is Revelation 19:19. And you better listen, in the military, and among those who have sought the enhancement of extra-dimensional entities in military application, what we have called the weaponization of satanic powers. Let me make it very, very clear that you're selling your soul, you're selling minds and hearts, and you're opening the door to a directed agenda. Now, you may only know part of that agenda, eyes only, individuals only. And you're not going to get to know the real nature, the real origin, the real agenda, the real hierarchy, the methodology. You're not going to know it without something vastly superior. We've talked about this in other MP3s that we've done, broadcast the supernatural hole into the substructure of radical evil. There's only one that can paint the picture and unveil. Lift up the spiritual carpet, tear back the veil, if you will, and identify the origin, the nature, the methodology, the hierarchy, the agenda, and even the leader. What it's all about. And why this world seems to be moving towards this ominous, catastrophic, the coming events. It's not millions any longer. I believe it's billions. So let me go over six of these issues tonight in the title, The Realm of the Demons. The Realm of the Demons. Let me say one thing very, very clear. Not just because biblically I believe what that Revelation says. The author of the book, the Spirit of God, has given the exposure, the revelation, the accuracy. I have no question on the incredible nature of that book. But I want you to know that based on the book, I already know the truth, but also the engagement, both before I came to Christ and after to this very day. Let me tell you something about the realm of the demons. They are real. They are there. And they have been for a long, long time. And there's more to come. What we're seeing today is an unprecedented manifestation of the planos level of these spirits. The seducing. Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says. Now, do you get the contrast here? The infinite, uncreated Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the eternal Spirit of God says, well, let me say, expressly. There is, the idea behind that is plainly God's revelation on the fact that in the end of days, massive amounts of this kind of demonic presence will cross from that side of the veil into our side, communicating into the minds and hearts of people, seeking to give individuals experiences, give them a synchronicity to lead them to where they want them to go. They're looking for doorways. They're knocking to get in. I will say it again, they are real and they've been here for a long, long time, but they're here in unprecedented measure. Even in the last 35 years of ministry that I've been involved with, I can tell you that we've seen the incremental frog in the kettle approach, but that it is very demonstrative in these last 15, 20 years. That we've seen such a welling up, such a sense of spiritual delusion in the air. Though even those who are tapped into that side of spiritual experience are worried about coming catastrophic, bloody, chaotic events, and maybe even an anarchy that collapses the world as it is. Now, those who are spouting the 2012 in Mayan prophecies are saying that might be a good thing. New Agers are saying that might be a good thing. Alice Bailey and other occult writers guided by Cosmocrators, I'll mention that again, are saying that there may be a need for cleansing. And I'm going to tell you again, this is what is coming down in the writings, the experiences, the expanse of the spiritual alternative movement that will lead to mass catastrophe, chaos, and anarchy, only to open the door for globalism as many of you have been listening to and checking out for a long, long time. Now, again, as you think concerning tonight, I'm going to deal with six things real quick here in the last 20 minutes, and I want to say again that you can email me concerning some of the things we talk about or give a comment. I'd like to hear from where you're listening from. And I appreciate those who have sent a note in to say hello. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. For those who are new, this is Russ Dizdar. For those who need information and want, a lot of helpful things, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Now listen, six things. Origins. Number one, origins. Two things you can look at, Ezekiel 28 and Revelation 12. Both deal with the concept that this original transmuted fallen cherub trafficked. That there was a big persuasion that he involved in his violent insurrection. He involved others. And I think Revelation 12 was very clear about this, where the ancient dragon, the serpent, there's a great definition, and there's a reason why the Spirit of God gives about 10 times in that chapter the word dragon, painting the picture of the full force, depth of this fallen cherub and the enormity. Notice the Spirit of God says megas, the idea that this dragon is huge or enormous, seeking to lead the whole world astray. And I'll say again that primary targets are politicians and military leadership. Revelation 12 tells us that this ancient dragon, he flung to the ground a third of the stars in reference to angels. That gives us a picture also how they have come under the sweeping authority of the fallen cherub. Anybody dealing in deliverance knows there's a hierarchy. They know the demons themselves, no matter how powerful, they know that their master is Lucifer, Satan, the devil himself. They all do. In all the deliverance procedures over the years and all the listening to, listen again when I say I have heard them scream through the mouths of the possessed, identifying me before I even identified them. The presence of real demonic spirits in human lives, when forced to manifest, look through the eyeballs and use the mouth and speak, just like in biblical days. Buddy, I tell you, they know if you're really a believer in Jesus or not. They know where you're at in your walk. They will attempt to lie, scare, threaten, mock God, blaspheme, do all they can. There's a deep hatred there. They will throw people to the ground, cause them to throw up, cause them pain, choke them, make them run. I'm going to tell you again, I have heard their voice. Their voices are clear. They understand their origin. They understand their nature, which is number two. Number two, the nature of the demonic. The realm of the demons, origins, you can go back. Fallen angels. We're talking billions, probably. Billions upon billions that defected angelos messengers, their spirits. And just like the once anointed guardian cherub, totally transmuted in every description, Old Testament, specifically the Gospels, their nature unclean, deceiving, seducing. They try to hide. They want to be in people. They want to work through people. I mean, look at Mark's Gospel chapter 5. Look at the man naked, cutting himself, howling, and living among the tombs. Superhuman strength. See, that's what they're going to use for people. Oh, they're going to offer people all kinds of favors, sexually, money, position, all kinds of stuff. There are rock groups that have declared their yieldedness in offering themselves to this dark power for fame. For fame. I remember reading one of the articles concerning the Rolling Stones, how they went to South Africa to learn some things about voodoo. And I quote kind of a phrase that I heard, and you can hear it on the videos from reel to reel, called Hell's Bells. Check it out, Hell's Bells. To vex the audiences. To go beyond their artistry and lyrics, but to vex their audiences with a presence and a power. No wonder they sang Sympathy for the Devil. Dancing with Dr. D. And no wonder so many of them connected with Aleister Crowley and many dark occultic themes. I think before they ever sought the dark powers sought the musicians because they wanted not just their lives, not just to give them things. Even fishermen give bloody worms to the hungry fish, but only to hook them. But only to hook them. The nature of the demonic realm, unclean, deceiving, seducing, ancient hate, the crystallized and eternal, they are fixed in that nature and they have willed it. They chose this. Now, some will go back to the Nephilim and refer to the Nephilim that were there that died. Where did their spirits go since they were not human spirits? Now, again, I cannot say that there were billions of Nephilim or even millions of Nephilim. The Old Testament from Genesis 6 on that the Nephilim, these crossbreeds of human demonic, well, they were genetically made. They were not humans. And unsavable, they were not human. Genetically, they were mixed. They were mutants. They were here before the flood and then again later. If we read Jesus right concerning the end of days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end of days. Many people believe that there is that same sense of Nephilim that are roaming among us. Well, as far as 30-foot cyclopses, we haven't seen that yet. There's been reports, but let me tell you something. Aleister Crowley sought the moon child, a crossbreed. Jack Parsons and others sought a combination, a mating with the Whore of Babylon to create what? A superhuman. The Nazis sought the Aryans, who were probably generational Nephilim, wanting their godlike, small g, godlike powers in the genetics. Nephilim, it's not so much about possession. It's about the actual genetics being different. Powers in the blood. And all you real Luciferians, you know what I'm talking about. You know this is true. All those who are SRAMPD, you all know that this is absolutely true. And there are millions of you out there. Why so many? And who created you? And what for? Why did they attempt to create moon child, cross bred, genetically enhanced super warriors? When you go back to the demonic, ultimately when you read the Gospels, there's no one giving definitions between fallen angels and Nephilim spirits. Bottom line, they're unclean. Jesus refers to them as spirits. They're all spirits, but gives definition. The Spirit of God gives definition. They are unclean. They're deceiving. They're seducing. They have in their nature this idea of roving around. They're looking for. They're searching for. If you've ever really engaged them as a believer in Christ, under the authority of Christ, you will find out their real nature. Now, you got to understand something. They have the power to morph. Now, we're going to talk more about this on one of the other nights, but let me mention number three tonight. Number one, origin. Number two, nature. Number three, methodology. Their methods, schemes. 2 Corinthians, you can read about it in chapter 1 and 2. You can read about it in chapter 11. The same way. From Genesis to, well, listen, Genesis chapter 3, all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you're going to see the Spirit of God paint the picture that the methodology of the fallen cherub, of the force of this dark power and presence, operates in the same way. With deceit, with seduction, with cunning, with temptation, to draw people away from God. It's what it's all about. And engage them with a new spirituality, with a different spirituality. It's not just simply good enough to have them away from God. No, they look for vessels. They look for those who will become their servants. Even in the book of Timothy, it gives reference to those who've been taken captive to do Satan's will. To do Satan's will. The realm of the demons, vast, probably in the billions. We understand the origins, the nature, the methodology is always involving seduction, trickery. Even if you look at Timothy 4:1, the Greek word planos, if you do a little study on the word, you're going to find out it has the idea of imposters. Even when individuals talk about Antichristu, the Antichrist, yes, it involves being against the real Christ, but the idea is, instead of Christ, to present a different Christ. The methodology is to pull people away from the real living God of heaven, the real Savior, Jesus Christ, the clarity of the Word of God, to move them away and give redefinitions, to redefine. To redefine God, to redefine Christ, to redefine the use in terms of Scripture. And if the demonic realm can do that, guiding individuals to write books, have experiences, channel their presence to speak to crowds. That's kind of like phase one. Moving individuals, finite spirits, the fallen spirits will always do this. Doesn't matter whether it was Jack Parsons or Helena Blavatsky. It doesn't matter. Listen, all of the New Age, secret societies, the Masons will do the same thing. No such thing as being a good believer in Christ and being a good, committed, secret society, Christ-denying Mason. You can't be both. What does the temple of God have to do with the temple of Belial? Have you read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7? Have you read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7? You got to decide what side of the fence you're fully on. I had an individual write to me, well, today I looked at the email, and actually it was a genuine question. And they were asking whether or not, and I want you to hear this, okay? They were asking whether or not, a lot of those gamers that are out there too, okay? A lot of you parents have to deal with your kids in games, and you got to look out for the deep, broad occult themes in cartoons and in gaming. Now, I have somebody that asked me concerning whether or not Qigong and yoga, meditation, so forth. Can you get into those if you use Jesus as the central figure? I appreciate that honest question. The answer is a frank and bold and clear no, because the sources of Qigong and of yoga specifically and meditation in those senses, the sources are finite spirits, planos spirits. And you can't kind of put Jesus in the middle. You can't make Jesus a gamer in the middle. Jesus is just simply cannot be reduced. And see, that's part of the problem with Hinduism and the spirits that are behind Hinduism. Look at the methodology. Their methodology is not to take Christ completely away, just redefine him. De-deify. Take away his saving power, his real personality. Give you a fake Christ that can't save you, help you. You'll find that the finite spirit's methodology is to create an alternative God, alternative Christ, alternative writings. And that can be true wherever you go, but the methodology is found in Genesis 3 when in the original engagement, you know, chucking God and his word and all that he is, and then embracing a new spirituality, a new word. It always involves that. In every cult, the occult, Satanism, well, even like Masons and all the rest, the entire New Age, it's not about saying, well, let's just clump it all together. Because whenever, you know, those in pantheism, Hinduism and so forth, Buddhism and so forth, New Age primarily, again, Alice Bailey and all the writers, including her, to this very day, they say, let's clump them all together. But while they do that, they strip the real Christ of all that he is, eternal, God, Emmanuel, Yahweh, Adonai. They strip him of the cross, of his blood, of why he came, all that. They strip him of everything and make a fake. This is what Eckhart Tolle did with Oprah Winfrey, trying to convince millions in a confusing, complicated book that demonstrated the direct operating methodology of the demonic realm. So are many books coming out. And if you understand the methodology when you hear or read or you're listening here or there, or pastors and leaders and so forth in churches all across this land. See, the audacity of the dark side is to sneak in through their methodology, concepts that can help begin to replace the scripture, the real Christ, the agenda of God, everything else. If any church has taken in Reiki healing over opposed to the healing of the living Christ, you've exchanged the glory of God not only for a lie, but for demonic energy that is connected to the entities. The methodology is the same. Understand the method of Genesis 3. Understand the method, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Understand the method throughout as the Spirit of God gives revelation. I mean, he just tears the devil up. He tears up the dark side and gives clear, definitive insight. Believers that don't know are, listen, I'm going to tell you one reason. Because you listen to me. I love you. But if you're lazy and biblically illiterate means you don't have the content of the Spirit of God inside of you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Doesn't it say that in Colossians chapter 3? Doesn't Psalm chapter 1 talk about meditating on the Word of God? Let me tell you something about the words of God given by the Spirit of God, animated by the Spirit of God, that as you are reading them, you're affected. As you believe them, they become operative. When you obey them and put them into practice, they unlock, they bring to you the strength, the empowerment of what they're talking about. You can read about that in Thessalonians. Check it out yourself. When Paul writes and says that you believe the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God that is at work, or literally the word means supernaturally operative in those who believe it, put it into practice. Better understand the methodology of the dark side. Some of you that are psychics or remote viewers, you got to understand they're dancing around you with their methodology. Their nature to deceive, to morph, to masquerade, and your inability to discern because you don't have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you, who is only given to those who have come to the living Christ, God's answer. If you would take a look at this, you could see a difference. Let me give you 4, 5, and 6 quickly. The hierarchy, Ephesians 6. The arche, the rulers, the principalities, powers, cosmocrator, world rulers. These are territorial powers and beings that many have called the Great White Brotherhood or the Ascended Masters. Whenever you hear somebody talking about the Ascended Masters, the Great White Brotherhood, that's what Ephesians 6 is all about. Their agenda is global. The demons have a leader, Ephesians 2. Listen, we'll talk more about this on Tuesday night. We're out of time tonight. God bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.